Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is the season premiere of Under the Radar, at least the regular season edition. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs. Off these podcasts.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. I keep having more and more trouble logging in. I don't know why that is. It's like they don't want me on or something.
I think we got some security set up there for you. But also below me, John Slica, and joining us again, Rocco Miller. Gentlemen, great to see you all again. Rocco joined us for a few podcasts already this season. You can check him out at bracketeer.org, correct?
That is correct.
Right.
Thanks for having me, Chad.
Great. This is our Under the Radar podcast where we go over all the Under the Radar teams. And I guess, David, let me start by, although I hate going to you for anything, let me start by having
what the hell is that supposed to mean?
What it means to be under the radar.
Well, it's any conference that is not a multi-bid conferences. There are 10 multi-bid conferences. It's the Power Five, which is the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac-12. And it is also the other five conferences that are not Power Five, but generally send multiple teams to the NCAA tournament. So Big East, Atlantic 10, West Coast, American, and, well, not in recent years, but in historically the Mountain West. And judging by what they did last month, talking about the Mountain West on this show again.
Well, judging by recent week's results, we may have to look at the Atlantic 10 as well.
Yeah, not the best. I mean, those two played each other, and miraculously, one of them won when Rhodey went out to. But this is under the radar. So,
yeah, well, that maybe should be under the radar, but it's not, at least for now. We will be dealing with those conferences during our Hoops HD reports that we record on Monday evenings. We'll generally be doing these on Wednesday evenings. And what we like to do in this show is begin with a feature conference of the night, and then we'll run through the other 21 or so conferences after that in kind of an alphabetical order. Yeah. We will take a preview of some upcoming games, and we will end by revealing our top 10 lists.
Okay, and Chad, I did have a quick question. There's 22 under-the-radar conferences, and there's 18 weeks. Who do you determine, and again, this is Chad Sherwood, who the four conferences are that never get featured? I would just like to know that.
I take a look at whatever conferences you suggest we feature, David, and those are the four.
Oh, okay. I just want everybody to know if your conference isn't featured, at Chad Sherwood, his Twitter handle is on the screen.
We'll do a special edition at the end of the year where we feature five conferences just for David. How's that sound?
Okay, yes.
All right. Well, our feature conference this week is going to be the Metro Atlantic, which got off to a pretty good start. And now, as we record this, Niagara is hanging in with Minnesota, but down 11 as we record this evening, so not looking that great to win that game. But they did pick up a big win at St. Bonaventure, even if it was a shorthanded St. Bonaventure team. Rocco, with Jalen Adams not having played for the Bonnies in that game, is that a big win for Niagara, or was that expected because of that St. Bonaventure being undermanned for that game?
Yeah, I think it was still a surprise. I thought Niagara would, St. Bonaventure, even without their star player, should be deep enough and good enough to win at home against Niagara, despite it being a mini rivalry out there, handily, I thought. So it was impressive to see Niagara go in there and get that win. And even almost more impressive tonight, playing a full-strength Minnesota team coming off of a big win and taking it to them at least for most of the game. So Niagara is going to be a team to keep an eye on, it looks like.
Yeah, Niagara does great when I'm not watching.
Yeah.
Stalika, the other team of note here in the Metro Atlantic was Monmouth, which had a surprising home win, even though it was at home, a surprising win over what we thought was a really good Bucknell team heading into the season, but they started with a win in opening day, followed that up with a win against Lehigh as well.
Yep, and the only loss that Monmouth had was understandable as they went downstate and lost to Seton Hall at the Rock.
Right, and yeah. We have one other undefeated team here in the Metro Atlantic. David, Manhattan played their first game of the season tonight. The last team, I think, at D1 to tip off did just beat St. Francis of Brooklyn by a point in overtime. But
yeah, okay. Who we projected to be the Baden team in the Northeast, Manhattan, getting it done by a point in overtime over their Manhattan, and again, like New York, it can be confusing. We have Manhattan, which is in the Bronx. We have Long Island, which is in Brooklyn. We have St. Francis, Brooklyn, which you would think, by the way they do things in New York, would be in Queens, but it's in Brooklyn.
Fairfield is the other team that I really want to discuss, though. They picked up a pretty nice win over Loyola the other night. It was at home, but it was a decent Loyola Maryland team, David.
Yeah. Again, former conference matchup. Sometimes I forget that Loyola is in the Patriot League, and it still kind of throws me when I see them playing Metro Atlantic schools. But nice win for Fairfield, and overall a really nice start for the Metro Atlantic Conference. As we say here, it's never too early to start talking about March and how this impacts the NCAA. I haven't seen anybody yet that I think is going to land inside the bubble. Had Monmouth won at Seton Hall, then maybe that's a different story. But all in all, a good start here, and it's going to be fun once conference play starts. This is one of our favorite leagues, with so many of the rivalries and the atmospheres that exist in this conference, and this year will be no different. Tim Kloos hasn't attacked anyone on Twitter yet, has he?
No, unfortunately, he's 0-2. We actually have five teams without a win yet, but that include teams like Iona and St. Peter's and even Siena that may contend. So, again, a factor a lot of times with the schedules with all these bye games that these teams play early in the season.
Yes, and Siena, one of our favorite coaches, Jimmy Patsos, no phantom handshakes yet, is there?
Well, they weren't looking much like a contender against Gulf Coast the other day, though.
No. We'll get to them. I love what they've done so far, but we'll get to them soon.
Well, we'll get to them real soon, but let's start in the America East first. We'll go back and run through all these conferences in alphabetical order. And Rocco, Vermont was the story with their opening game being at Kentucky, and kept it right in there. Arguably a foul on the three-pointer at the very end of the game there, even although it wasn't called.
Right, yeah. And Vermont, you know, there was a couple times during the second half where they got down by double figures, and you were just starting to think, okay, Kentucky's going to put them away. But that just shows what kind of team Vermont is. They're not the kind of team that's going to give in this year, really against anybody. They started off with the best, one of the best teams. So they'll be fun to watch. And then, like we talked about on the preview show, Albany has come out strong out of the gate, getting a win over Iona, and then another win the other night, another solid win. So, you know, pretty good start for the American East at the top. The bottom is, still a little bit left to be desired, but that's okay.
All right. And, David, you mentioned the Atlantic Sun. Gulf Coast out to 2-0 start, as is Stetson. I believe that Stetson is playing right now as we record this against South Florida, but 2-0 heading tonight at least.
Well, you know, beating South Florida isn't going to help them that much.
Play South Florida at home, and I think that's what we call a bye game, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially, God, South Florida is awful. But Florida Gulf Coast is not. Nothing too exciting about Siena and Illinois State in and of themselves, but it isn't just that they beat those teams. It's how handily they beat them. Gulf Coast, I knew that they were going to be good. I think we all kind of expected them to be one of the better teams, but they've been better than what I personally thought they would be against that caliber of team. I don't know about you, but it isn't just – like, these are not bad under-the-radar teams that they played, and they went in there and they didn't just beat them. They didn't even sweat doing it.
Right.
There's two other stories out of the ASUN. First of all, NJIT did open up their new facility at a great-looking building, Stalika. I know you saw some of that game.
I didn't see much of the opener, but I did see quite a bit of the second game. This is what Lee Delvecchio called a New Jersey christening, with the first two ejections in the Wellness Center, with an NJIT player getting tossed for throwing an elbow at a Lafayette player's face, and one of the Leopards players also got ejected for leaving the bench during that fracas, but no punches were thrown from that. From the Lafayette bench.
We need to pay homage to what was perhaps the worst but the greatest arena in Division I. NJIT's old arena had no concession stands, but they had a snack bar. There were only seats on one side of the arena. Chad, you actually...
There were fold-out bleachers on one side of the arena, David. It was not seats. Yeah. It was fold-out bleachers. It was... I've been in high school gyms nicer than the old NJIT arena, but I loved it. It was so much fun. go to a game there. That was great when they made that CIT run and the place was jam-packed with, you know, wherever they could fit people in.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. So, I mean, it's good they have this new building, but I kind of missed there was a golden age of the old days. So.
Well, Rocco, one other story out of the A-Sun just breaking today is that South Carolina Upstate has announced that they're going to be leaving the Atlantic Sun starting next year, heading over to the Big South. A-Sun is getting North Alabama moving up from D2 next year, so they'll stay at eight members. But
right. Question?
Yeah, Chad, I saw that too. And it's a little disappointing because it seems like once this league starts to get anything going, somebody takes off, and it's really just kind of a bunch of misfits. It seems like constantly rotating in and out of the conference. SC Upstate was a team, you know, or is a team that gave Georgia a really good run at Georgia last night. And then Minnesota, they didn't exactly get blown out in that either. So they could be maybe our third place team in this league, or maybe second if they can hang with Lipscomb. But it's just too bad to see teams always leaving the league.
I don't understand why Upstate is leaving the league, because the Big South and A-Sun have some sort of an affiliate agreement when it comes to football and basketball. I mean, the Big South has football. The A-Sun does not. So naturally, Upstate without football is joining the Big South, and North Alabama with football is joining the A-Sun.
But I'm guessing travel costs may also have something to do with that, because the Big South, that's predominantly Virginia and the Carolinas. Mm-hmm. The A-Sun, you're also traveling downstate to Florida and also to New York.
To New Jersey.
Yeah.
Don't you dare call me. Don't you dare. You will be flying into Newark. You will not be going through New York at all on that trip to NJIT. Thank you very much. Rocco, let's move over to the Big Sky Conference that we saw a heck of an upset last night with Eastern Washington at Stanford.
Yeah, I got to watch that game last night. It was, it was kind of a great opportunity for Eastern. They shot three-pointers. I think they hit 12 or 13 of them and almost 50% clip. They didn't turn the ball over much. They took advantage of Pickens and a couple other role players for Stanford being missing. Stanford tried to pack it in with a couple of their big guys, Reed Travis, and another big fellow. I'm forgetting his name right now. And it worked. They dominated the glass, but Eastern just wasn't missing, and it was good enough. They tried to miss a bunch of free throws at the end and blow it, but they held on and got that big win. And we're not talking about on the radar, but Stanford's bubble chances are now already in jeopardy. And the Big Sky as a whole, I think we talked about a few teams in the preview show. Weber State and Montana are off to a good start. I know Montana ended up losing tonight, but they got that win at Pitt. And then you've got teams like North Dakota that are solid. And I also still like Idaho. So I think the league's off to a pretty good start, and it's slowly climbing up the ranks of conferences.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. A real good start there. You mentioned Montana, who hung in with Penn State tonight most of that game, right. Till the end of it also. So they were almost 3-0, but Penn State did pull it out. They beat a very bad Pitt team. Stalika, yes. The Big South, where Liberty is out to a 2-0 start, among others, and having picked up a notable win there.
Notable win being Wake Forest. But that's the only one that's going to count as far as RPI goes, because Clark Summit, non-division one.
No, the notable win over Wake. And David, the other notable win for this conference was Radford tonight winning at East Carolina. Whether you consider that notable or not, I guess is up to
notable by postseason tournament standards, not NCAA tournament standards. But, yeah, notable for sure. I mean, it's the kind of win that would look good to a CIT committee for sure. I don't mean that condescendingly.
Well, David, let me stick with you in the Big West, where we saw UC Santa Barbara get upset on the road today at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, real shocking that they weren't – that. I mean, granted, it's not easy to go on the road, but still kind of a big upset that Pitt knocked them out.
The other big upset out of this conference was UC Riverside winning at Cal on opening night. Really a shocker there for the other team from Riverside.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Cal Baptist, team of the people, they sort of own that city, but still a nice win for UC Riverside against a Cal team that's rebuilding. There is a team that I really like, this Hawaii team so far. I think that they could be dangerous, whereas we're used to seeing this league towards the top of the UTR leagues. It was not there at all last year, but it may not be there holistically this year, but I do think Hawaii is there. What do you think of these Bows?
Well, I'm with you, but Rocco, you were not that high on the Bows heading into the season. They did sweep the Rainbow Classic event, including a nice win over North Dakota in that event.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't exactly low on the Bows, so I don't want to say that I'm down on them. I just think I think this league was incredibly unpredictable coming in, and I am. This is probably the league that has impressed me the most in the first few days of the season, just because you've got UC Irvine went on the road and clobbered Denver by 15 in the mountains. You had Hawaii, start 3-0 as you mentioned. We also saw Long Beach State come up here to San Francisco on opening night and come in as like 16-point underdogs and win that game by 12 handily. And now Long Beach State's off to a 2-0 start, and they don't have a ridiculous schedule. So they're a team to watch. And then UC Davis. Also, we talked about Northern Colorado on the last show being a team to watch. And UC Davis goes out to Northern Colorado, another tough place to play, and they win by double digits. So this team is this league is coming out of almost nowhere and winning road games. And, obviously it's on a smaller scale, but it's really impressive and caught me by surprise.
Yeah, this is a league. I think we're talking about, this league is bound for a 15-16 seed this year heading into the season, and they keep picking up these non-conference wins, even against the smaller schools. We could be looking 13-14 type of line, I think, at that point.
Yep.
Right, for sure.
Could see some really good league games.
Stilico, a league that I think we're going to have a lot of fun watching all season this year is the Colonial, with College of Charleston, who got smacked around by Wichita, but you've got other teams in here, including Elon. You had a nice win by Delaware over a very bad Richmond team. Charleston did beat Siena.
And then one of our old friends in Hofstra also opened up with a pair of home wins against Army and Kennesaw State.
Yeah,
who's it? Yeah, Hofstra 2-0, Northeastern 2-0, also David.
Who's our friend in Hofstra? I'm blanking.
Who's our friend in Hofstra, Stalika?
At Hofstra.
Oh, okay. Yeah, our old friend at Hofstra. Good.
They're on Long Island there with Brooklyn, right? I guess.
Yeah. They're out there across the street rivalry with Brooklyn out there. Anyway, what was your question, Chen? I was too busy trying to figure out.
Just your thoughts on what you've seen out of the Colonial so far, where everybody has at least one win.
Yeah, off to a really good start. We knew that we would like this league. I will say this, not to knock the overall accomplishments of it. I was a little surprised at how handily, not so much that they lost, but Elon, I was expecting them to at least do a little bit better against Duke. I certainly not beat them, but not get absolutely blown out of the place. And my God, College of Charleston just went to the roundhouse. Mm-hmm. And it was an 18-point deficit that really was more like 30 the way the game went. I mean, they just I think it was 43-12 at one point or something, if not that ridiculous, close to it. And this is a team, at least that I thought, in College of Charleston, that we're going to be talking about as an at-large bid if they don't happen to win the conference tournament. And they didn't look it. Now, I mean, obviously, if they get the win, then suddenly, yeah, you're looking at them. But they didn't even look like a tournament team in a losing effort at Wichita.
Yeah, I agree with you, David. I've this is the league I've probably been the most disappointed in so far. Again, we're 5 days into the season, so a lot can change in a week. But Charleston had to go to overtime to beat Siena on opening night. That was surprising, especially seeing how bad Siena was against Florida Gulf Coast. And then I agree, Elon's been disappointing. I was surprised Towson lost. Northeastern's 2-0, but they played at non-division one, and they got a nice opening win at Boston U. They actually have an opportunity here on Friday afternoon to come out west, which is a weirdly, oddly scheduled game to play at Stanford on Friday in the middle of the day. But I believe Stanford's injuries will still be kicked in. So we'll see if Northeastern can come steal a win and turn things around for the CAA.
Rocco, let me stick with you here. A conference that I think is going to be another conference I think is going to be a ton of fun this season is Conference USA. Unfortunately, there's about four or five too many teams in the league. But aside from that, Middle Tennessee, Old Dominion, UAB, all off to nice starts. You know, UTEP won their only game so far. You got actually eight undefeated teams heading into at this point of in this league.
Yeah, I like Middle Tennessee a lot. I've got them sneak preview as a number one in my top 10 under the radar team thus far, just because of the senior leadership. These guys are King came in a transfer from Alabama, and they haven't missed a beat this far. A couple games in, we'll see how they do against Belmont tomorrow.
That's a great game tomorrow.
It will be a great game. Yeah,
that might be the under-the-radar game.
Yeah. And then Old Dominion looks good early. I've been really impressed. And a team that I'm very impressed with, you know, they've been blowing teams out, is UAB. And I know a couple other guys that have been in my ear about them. So I'm waiting for them to play somebody, you know, worth a darn so far, which they haven't. And tomorrow's not going to be any better when they play Lemoyne Owen. so we'll wait till probably next week to see what UAB is all about.
Yeah, oh, okay. I didn't want to interrupt. I mean, I'll interrupt Chad and John, but I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, anytime. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, UAB, we saw, and we see this, I think, from first-time head coaches a lot. I mean, well, we see it from coaches in general, but typically younger coaches. UAB, high expectations last year. Injury prior to the start of the season kind of derailed it. And I think what they did something that we see a lot of teams do after they fell below their expectations. They scheduled week with the intention of bloating out their record. And in this particular case, I think it's really a shame because, as you said, they've looked good, but against who? And say they win 25, 26 games, well, against who? I just don't think that they challenge themselves well enough, considering how good they are, to give themselves any sort of real shot at landing inside the bubble the way Middle Tennessee does, the way so many other, not enough of them, but other under the radar teams do, that are as good as UAB appears to be. What do you guys think of that? I in one sense, I get a coach feeling like he needs to produce, and the best way to do that is to schedule winnable games. But again, the ultimate question is, well, against who?
Yeah, and next week they'll play in the Cayman Islands Classic. They get Richmond in the first round, so they basically have a bye.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So hopefully we'll get to see them face either Cincinnati or Iowa. It'd be great to see them go up against a couple big-time teams, high-level teams, where we can really get a barometer on what they're all about.
Yeah.
Well, Sleeka, let me turn to you for the Horizon League at the next conference up. Three teams off to 2-0 starts, Northern Kentucky and Oakland, who we thought would be there, Milwaukee, who you remember did finish dead last in this conference last season, probably definitely has the most notable win of the conference, having knocked off Iowa State.
Yep, the Hilton Magic certainly seems to have lost its bloom, and that was no fluke either, because Iowa State, I think, had also looked bad themselves against Missouri, which is something we didn't think we'd be saying last year, but you look at a team like Oakland with Kendrick Nunn now eligible. They've certainly looked pretty dominant in their opening week as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this Oakland team at this point, especially with Bucknell having – and Vermont, I mean, not having had bad losses, but having slipped up a little bit. I'm really high on this Oakland team among all these under-the-radar schools, David. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely. I like them, and I like NKU. I think I like Northern Kentucky more than the rest of you do. Not that you all don't like them, but I
you'd be wrong about that.
Okay, I really like Northern Kentucky. No, I'm not wrong. Not wrong. They're one of my favorite teams.
We just need to break out the buzzer on you there. But David, let me stick with you over in the Ivy League, where Harvard played at one of the most exciting games all season so far. I think that an overtime win over UMass, that the last 5 minutes of that game, the overtime period, were about as fun of a basketball game as you're ever going to see.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, it was not completely boring, but not at the level of excitement. Like, in the last 5 minutes of regulation and throughout overtime, I don't recall a 10-minute span of basketball where there were so many lead changes. It was just back and forth and back and forth. Really exciting game. So great on that end. But when you're talking about Harvard as a top 40 at-large caliber team, they haven't really shown it yet. Because shouldn't you – if this was at Harvard, shouldn't they roll over a UMass team that no one thinks is going to make the NIT or come close to doing so?
Also, keep an eye on Holy Cross tomorrow night, because that would be Harvard's chance to pretty much cement their legacy as far as the Commonwealth of Massachusetts goes.
Yeah. And a team that was pretty disappointing, Rocco, tonight, Princeton lost at home to BYU. It's a pretty good BYU team, but I thought that that was a game they should have won if they were going to be a contender here in the Ivy League.
Right. Princeton, I think they're still a contender in the Ivy League, because I don't think the league really that strong right now. Unfortunately, Mekhi Mason for Yale is out for 6 weeks. And then Princeton's really, they needed to win that game tonight to show that they were possibly the top team, and they failed. The team that's actually surprised and impressed me the most is 1-2. And that's Penn, who blew out Navy tonight. They lost a double overtime to LaSalle in double overtime, and then they lost a tough one to Fairfield, but Fairfield's looking stronger and stronger. So, you know, maybe Penn can steal the league. I will see. It's going to be a long season. But I still think those four, Yale, Princeton, Harvard, and Penn, are there's a drop-off after those four.
I'd agree. And I think we're looking at those being the four teams in the Ivy League tournament at the end of the day. Sleeka, you're our Ohio guy, so I got to go to you for the Mid-American Conference. And I think you want to talk about Miami, don't you? Sleeka.
Good take, Sleeka.
Oh, well, I think we're going to try to get Sleeka back there. We're not going to hear anything about Miami from him. So, David, how about the Buffalo Bulls, who got a real nice win over Jacksonville State, albeit at home tonight?
Right. Jack State went into Richmond and blew them off the court, which, it turns out that that's actually not that surprising. Richmond, not that good, but still looking pretty good. They weren't one of the teams from the OVC, who we'll get to in a minute, that I thought would be a front runner, but up to, to date, they've been one of the better looking teams so far, minus Belmont, but still real nice win for Buffalo at home. Love this conference. It's, again, fun once it gets into the conference play.
Right. And the other notable win out of the MAC was Toledo, who we thought was going to be one of the worst teams in the conference, getting the win over St. Joe's on opening day.
I think we have Sleeka too. Yeah.
Sleeka, do we have you back? No, we still don't have his sound back. Okay, we're going to work on that. Good job, Sleeka.
Right now I'm back on here.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go. I want to give you 2 seconds here to address Miami, because I know you want to address the Red Hawks.
1 second Fordham, second. Nice win against Wright State at home in overtime. Let's move on, please.
Those are two decent wins for a program that has not been very competitive the last few years, though. So maybe things are getting better for Miami.
No, they're not.
All right. Rocco, the MEAC, we actually do have a notable win here with Morgan – no, never mind. It was just South Florida.
Yeah. Well played.
But it was on the road, so, give them an extra point for that. The MEAC, this is the time of year where there's just a lot of blowouts happening, and it's hard. Unless they play a non-D1 school, then they get the confidence up. So, I still think Morgan State, Norfolk State, NC Central probably going to be the top three. Morgan State's got a little bit of talent, some experience.
And it was nice for NCANT to get a win out of the chute after being a centenary candidate last year.
Yeah, we're normally looking at this as the centenary conference.
Yeah.
Lord. South Dakota very stupid.
I should mention Howard gave a nice effort against Indiana. I think they were close until about 5 minutes left.
Yes, they were. That was practically a bye. Poor Howard. David, Missouri Valley Conference. Missouri State almost under the radar for under the radar teams here so far this year. Very quietly 2-0, but I think this is going to be a real good team this year at the end of the day.
Yeah, I like them as much as just about as much as I like anyone else in this conference. Of the overall, I think this conference has one of the better overall records as far as under the radars goes. They're 17-2 or something like
only
that.
Only two losses overall for the entire conference so far this season.
Right. Impressive. Yeah, collectively. Now, they don't really have any notable wins that jump out at you, and that is kind of an issue. They're going to need some of those at some point.
You do have Indiana State 90, Indiana 69.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, no real notable wins up until, But, you know, Indiana State certainly looked good in that game. I mean, I wasn't expecting much out of Indiana, but I didn't expect the trees to beat them by over 20.
Yeah.
Real good job by Indiana State there. Valpo in the league should be formidable. They haven't really done anything yet except beat up on a couple of D2 teams, I think. Mm-hmm. But still, overall, a real good start to this league, and it's going to be an interesting dynamic without Wichita State.
Yeah, Indiana State in that game shot 17 for 26 from three-point land. So I think a lot of that had to do with the blowout. I don't think they can do that every night. That's 66%.
I don't think they can do that in the warm-ups every night.
Exactly. Uncontested, right?
Yeah.
But I also think Loyola Chicago looks good. I like the Ramblers. I'm interested to see how they do when they start playing some better competition. And we've got Missouri State with Elise Johnson, probably the best player in the conference, looking really strong early.
Yeah, nice one over Western Kentucky already for Missouri State there among their victories.
Mm-hmm.
John, over the Northeast Conference, compared to a conference with two overall losses from Missouri Valley, we go to a conference with one D1 win so far in the Northeast Conference. So congrats to the Wagner for picking up the conference's only win against Division I competition so far.
Yeah, that would be one win against it's actually to open NJIT's Wellness and Events Center that we covered earlier.
We love this conference, though. We do.
We love this conference once we get to January, David.
Right. Yeah, not a whole lot going on until then.
Well, I loved this conference because I went and saw the preseason champion on Monday in person just because I had to see him.
Yeah.
So that was my love for them. And St. Francis looked competitive, so I'm sticking with that pick.
Good pick. I actually saw them. I got to get one of their games last year. I got their game up at Fairleigh Dickinson last year. It's a fun conference to go to. It's a fun conference to watch. It's, you know, but you just can't expect anything more than the regular season play in the conference.
Yeah, poor guys.
The Ohio Valley Conference, we had several notable wins, David, including Jacksonville State's blowout at Richmond and Belmont with a real nice win over Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Belmont off to a real nice start. I know Washington isn't good by any means, but still to go across the country for Belmont to, you know, play at Washington, only lose by four, then come home and beat Vanderbilt. And if you watch that game, to call it a blowout is overstating it, but to say that at no real point was Belmont not in control of that game. Real nice win for them, and they got another big one tomorrow against, like you said, Middle Tennessee, who we've already talked about. But real nice start for the Bruins here. Murray State, another team that very talented, falling at home to that Middle Tennessee team that Belmont's playing tomorrow. I wasn't as big on Murray State as you all were. I'm not questioning their talent. It's that they were talented last year and they had trouble gelling, and I just saw no reason to think that it would this year. But I liked Belmont from the get-go, and that's who I certainly like now.
Well, let's turn over, Rocco. Let's go over to the Patriot League, another conference that hasn't really done much of note other than Navy's win over Pitt on opening day, which they followed up by, as we mentioned earlier, by getting blown out by Penn tonight. Mm-hmm. But anything you've seen out of the Patriot League so far besides that Navy win?
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, I've been really disappointed because we spent so much time hyping up Bucknell, and they haven't impressed very much. I know that they've been hanging tight. Do you have a score update on North Carolina Bucknell?
It's over. North Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina has won. One of the better showings. Now, Bucknell, it's just kind of disappointing. We came into the year knowing that so much of what they would be able to do as far as the selection committee would be decided in the first week. They went to Monmouth, fell pretty far behind. We're down by double digits at halftime, I think, and looked really good in the second half, but just couldn't get over the top. That was probably their most winnable game out of the three. They went to Arkansas and got blasted. Yeah. Went to North Carolina, really good showing tonight, but couldn't get it done. So, you know, they needed at least one. 2-1 would have been really good. Like, if they were 2-1, they'd probably be ranked 1 or 2 in our rankings today, and we'd be talking about them as a potential tournament caliber team. Instead, they're 0-3. And are they going to even have the chances to get there, even if they only lose 1 or 2 the rest of the way?
Well, yeah. I would say the one thing about Bucknell is the game that hurts the most is that Monmouth loss. I mean, that's the game that they needed to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can excuse the Carolina and the Arkansas losses. They'll have 1 or 2 more chances to pick up a win of note. But the Monmouth loss is going to be the one that really hurts at the end of the day here. If this first week decides their tournament fate, should they need an at-large bid.
Right, and like kind of what I always say is that if you're an NCAA tournament team, then you need to be able to beat NIT teams on the road. And Monmouth, as good as they are for by under the radar standards, probably the NIT is their ceiling, and Bucknell couldn't get the win. So I agree with you on that, Chad.
I kind of rank it up there if we remember the year that Monmouth was just missed out on the field. They had a non-conference loss on the road at Army. That's the type of. I mean, I think Monmouth this year is better than Army was that year, but that's the type of loss that I think knocked Monmouth out that year, and maybe the one that knocks Bucknell out this year.
Well, to be fair to Monmouth that year, they had 3 sub 200 losses, so it wasn't just Army. I think it was Manhattan and one other scrub in the Metro Atlantic that helped keep them out.
Still awful.
Excuse one, maybe even two sometimes. It was just the 3 is what really, I think, put it over was the clincher there.
Yeah.
I still think they should have been taken, but oh well.
I think it was St. Peter's.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, the Southern Conference, we liked a couple teams such as Samford and Furman, I think, coming in this year. Furman does have a nice win over Elon so far, probably the best win out of this league.
Yep, and I was also going to highlight Mercer because, like Appalachian State, they all also had a nice blowout win over Tocawa Falls. But unfortunately, that's not going to count since that is also a non-D1 win.
Yeah. No, Tocawa Falls or Tocawa Falls, the wins do not count, David. But anything else you've seen out of the Southern, David, that's stuck out?
No.
Okay. No, nice answer. No. Yeah. Rocco, the Southland. Oh, sorry, you have a comment
on the SoCon? Oh, you had something about the SoCon.
One last comment on the Southern. I'll give Greensboro a shout out. They hung in there pretty tough with Virginia on opening night and haven't played anybody since. But we'll keep our eye on the Spartans.
Yep. But let me stick with you, Rocco, over in the Southland Conference, where the team I've been most impressed with so far has been this Lamar team. They had the win over Tulsa. They also picked up a nice win over Coastal Carolina. It was a home game, but, you know, it's a team that's normally competitive as well. So 2-0 there for Lamar, a little bit surprising or not.
Yeah, it was hard to know what to make of that game because you don't know if it's just Tulsa being Tulsa or if Lamar is actually pretty good. So we found out with them hosting Coastal Carolina, finding out a way to win, that they are pretty solid. I had them as the second place team anyway, behind Stephen F. Austin coming in. So they should stay at the top throughout the year, I think. And then as far as the rest of the conference goes, a lot of these teams just aren't playing anybody yet. So it's just really tough. I know Stephen F. Austin's got 2 wins against nobody. And unfortunately, Southeast Louisiana took a really big blowout loss. So I'm kind of backing off the Lions train right now, but yeah, that's what I've seen so far.
And if we want to talk about bad things with this conference, also Northwestern State, a loss to non-D1 Torno.
How many of the
– Wow. Oh, and I was just going to say Northwestern State tonight, they were well into the second half with still single digits against SMU. I think it was 44-8 at the 18-minute mark.
Oh, okay. You mean the total number of points. I thought you meant the point. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Ouch. They had 8 at halftime tonight.
They had 35 at the end of the game, which is not bad for a half.
Yes.
David, I want to give you a score here.
Yes.
This was from a game on opening day Friday. Jackson State 84, Millsaps 46. I want to congratulate Jackson State as the only victory so far by any team in the Southwestern Athletic Conference.
And it doesn't count. That deserves no congratulations. That deserves scorn.
That puts Move on. In place, does it not?
Yeah.
It's been but I think
Texas Southern, I like them more than anybody. And again, this is a league, and since it's the first show, we'll point out the obvious. This is a league where multiple teams play one home game prior to January, if that. There's a few teams that don't even play any. Their home opener is in the middle of January. And they're not doing it to test themselves or to grow. They're doing it to get paid. They go out there, all of them, I would say, if you look at any SWAC team, has 7 or 8 games on the schedule where they know they're not even going to be competitive. It's such a low rung. And you wonder why they're not better than what they are. I mean, the MEAC isn't great, but it's substantially better than the SWAC, top to bottom. Why is the SWAC this bad?
Well, there's one team that's, I agree with you, is not that bad, and that is this Texas Southern team, Rocco. They are 0-2, but losses were Gonzaga and a game that they had won against Washington State and let it get away.
That was unfortunate. They they had a 31-9 lead in the first half and let the Cougs chip away at them and then blow it in overtime. But we'll see. They play Ohio State tomorrow, so maybe they'll give them a run for their money. Ohio State's still trying to figure out their identity. I like the Texas Southern team based on the fact that they've got a good nucleus of guys that have played together, and they seem to mesh well on the court. So it's fun to watch them play. Outside of them, though, I mean, they're the only team in the league that's in the top 300, and everybody else is just at the very bottom of Division I. It's just really tough.
Yeah, according to Ken Palm, right now Texas Southern is 265. The next best team in the conference is Prairie View at 324, and the rest of the league is below 324. There's not that many spots below 324.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so the question is, and not Millsap, like how many Div 1 out-of-conference wins does this league get, more or less than 10? I'm taking the under.
I might take the under on 5, David, so.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That would be – I've seen them win as few as 8. I don't know if I've ever – wow. If it's 5, wow. Okay.
It's going to come down to Texas Southern, and Texas Southern doesn't play a home game until conference play. So that's the team that with the best shot at getting those wins. Stalika, the Summit League, as we record this, the South Dakota TCU game has about 10 minutes left and is actually a close game. So we're not going to get a final on that before we're done. But besides that, what else have you seen out of the Summit so far?
Not too much, at least as far as the regular season goes. I mean, there were a few decent exhibitions involving, I think it was I'm thinking of Eastern Illinois.
Is not the Summit League, no.
Yeah.
But I'll be getting that to a final thought later on.
Rocco, anything here in the Summit League? Denver off to a disappointing 0-2 start, as is North Dakota State.
Yeah, they are. But South Dakota had a really nice win on Monday at Bowling Green. And as you said, they're battling TCU tough. I think they're an interesting team. And South Dakota State, with the preseason champions, they're off to a nice 3-0 start. I know our guy Mike Dom has been dominating. They beat that UC Irvine team that I was giving praise to on opening night, and then they've been cruising since. They'll get a chance to play Kansas on Friday night. So let's see how they stack up against the big dogs.
And David, over in the Sun Belt, another notable win, although once again against Wake Forest, Georgia Southern by 2 points beat Wake. How about the Sun Belt so far and what you've seen?
I think not to take anything away from Georgia Southern, but I'm about to take quite a bit away from Georgia Southern. I think that speaks more to how bad Wake is than how good they are. Arlington's the team that I like. I think it's the team that we all kind of collectively love. And despite the beating Wake, that hasn't really changed my mind much. Troy had a nice effort anyway to lose. Was it Hawaii that they went out there and almost beat?
They played well against Wye, but they lost that game.
Right. So, and I wasn't expecting much at all out of Troy. So they might be a team to keep your eye on as we kind of go through things here. But I don't know. I'm just not expecting much out of the SBC this year. I like Georgia State's program. You can't ever completely overlook them, but Arlington's the team I like the most.
Arlington's the team I like the most. I want to make a note here about Little Rock, another team that lost to a non-D1 foe, Wichita
Good
Baptist, D179. Disappointing start for the Sun Belt. Stalica, the WAC.
What do we have here?
What's going on this week?
I want to highlight one little thing here before we go to the WAC, and this is courtesy of our friend Warren Nolan. You may want to take a closer look at the result between Troy and Hawaii. Since when were ties possible here? And
yeah, well, Warren, I thought Hawaii won in overtime, but if Warren says it's a tie, it's a tie. I always defer to our good friend Warren Nolan.
yeah. I've actually got a contact about him about that. That came in my notes as well. That he's got a little mistake there, but we'll get that cleared up.
Maybe it was just time for bed, so he just put in a tie.
But Salika, the WAC, the Lopes are out to a 2-0 start. The only undefeated team.
Yep, the only undefeated team, and part of the reason is because one of the other teams expected to contend in Bakersfield. Also had a tough loss against Georgia Southern earlier in the week.
I'll actually tell you, Rocco, the team that I've been impressed the most with was Utah Valley so far. They might be 1-2, but they did get the nice win at Idaho State, a team that, and on top of that, even more importantly, was the way they played against Kentucky.
Yeah, they had a brutal week of traveling. I mean, they went Kentucky, Duke, back-to-back nights, and then a couple of days to get back to Twin Falls, Idaho, to play the Bengals of Idaho State and get that win. I saw they had a really sluggish first half, and then they really turned on the Jets in the second half. But, yeah, Utah Valley was my pick, so I'm feeling good about that. They'll have an interesting game this weekend against UC Davis. I like that UC Davis team as well. Your guys' Lopes are looking strong early, but I think they don't have much of a schedule until they get to St. John's. So we'll have to wait a couple of weeks to see where we're at with the Lopes.
Yeah, they don't have much of a schedule. You could have just stopped right there.
I just want to take a quick look at some of the upcoming games this week. We did on Monday night, we did our preview of the upcoming in-season tournaments. But David, I want to take a quick note again about the Bahamas Showcase that's coming up. Great field for under-the-radar fans, with the quarterfinals being Bradley versus Vermont, Northern Kentucky versus James Madison, Coastal Carolina versus Texas San Antonio, and if I could find the final one, that would be Weber State against Iona. Real fun under the radar field there.
Yeah, a lot more fun than some of the other tournaments, even though these are all UTR teams. So kind of looking forward to this one.
And a couple of games outside of tournaments, Sleeka, coming up on, I believe this is on Thursday, on Friday here. We got North Dakota State at Missouri State in a real interesting under the radar matchup. Are you there, Sleeka?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got North Dakota State at Missouri State coming up on Friday, two teams that might contend in their conferences. We also got one of our favorite rivalries, New Mexico and New Mexico State, coming up Friday as well.
Yep, North Dakota State had a missed opportunity a few weeks ago at Southern Cal, where they actually led for most of the first half, but the Trojans were able to pull away late in that one. So here's an opportunity for them to rebound, and we'll have to see what happens between New Mexico and New Mexico State in that upcoming game as well.
Sorry, go ahead, Aggies.
I like the Aggies in that one. New Mexico is not good.
David, coming up on Saturday, a couple games I want to point out here. Bucknell with another shot at a win here. They're at Maryland. And also here's another game, Texas Arlington, who you just said the team you do like, the Sun Belt, is out at BYU.
Yeah, I don't know if I like them enough to go out to BYU and win. But if you're going to pick a champion out of the Sun Belt to go play at BYU, it would be them.
And Rocco, coming up on Sunday, Monmouth, who we just talked about in the Metro Atlantic, is on the road at Virginia, probably too tall of a task for them. But another interesting game coming up on Sunday, we've got Elon at Milwaukee, two teams, one of the teams we liked in the Colonial, and team that's off to a real good start out on the horizon.
Yeah, I think based on what we know this far, Milwaukee should be favored to win that game, maybe by double figures. But again, we don't know how good or bad Iowa State is. If Iowa State is awful, then who knows how impressive that Milwaukee win will go down for. So that'll be interesting. Yep, I'll go with Milwaukee.
And David, I do need your pick on a real big under the radar game coming up on Sunday, 6 p.m. on Big Ten Network, South Florida at Indiana.
Indiana.
Sleeka, next Monday also a few games. Our favorite Toccoa Falls playing again at Charleston Southern.
Toccoa Falls.
But the one game that I'm focusing on that could definitely be a power conference team going down is Oakland's at Syracuse coming up next Monday.
Well, we've had similar thoughts as far as possibly Iona knocking off the Cues, but I don't know if Oakland's going to have the size to go up against the 2-3 zone necessarily. But I was going to go back to Toccoa Falls and wonder, had they already been extended an AC-8 invite for March?
They might be. We'll talk about them, David.
we will. Who was it? Open Bible that was determined to not even be an actual place.
They were not a real school.
So, it turns out no NCAA school in any division could play them because they went and investigated and found out that Open Bible was essentially a laptop computer on a fold-out chair.
One other game quickly, David. Next Tuesday, Samford's at Valparaiso. I think that's another real interesting game between two under-the-radar schools.
That's a real good game. Samford, again, one of the better SoCon teams, or so we think. That's going to be a fun one.
Well, let's go ahead, and I'm going to pull up the screen right
here. Check, can I do something real quick? I got to do something real quick before we start the top 10.
Do you need the screen?
I do. I need it.
Okay,
here it is. Okay, it's here we go. And there they are. There they are. Your Lancers, ladies and gentlemen, the team of the people live right now. There they are.
And David, okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Lancers, and we'll go right into that. They are 2-0 right now, the team of the people.
Yes.
Wins over Cal State Dominguez Hills and Cal State LA.
Yes.
And up right now for this.
Right, yeah, and they're playing at this very minute. This is the people's team, Chad. Your Lancers, my Lancers, everybody's Lancers, Lance Champs, live on the first time I think we've ever had an under-the-radar team or the team of the people live on an under-the-radar broadcast.
And David, it's they did a great job scheduling also with only one non-conference road game.
It's Division II. The rules are different there.
Okay. That note, that I am going to go ahead and pull up what we were just starting to take a quick look at a second ago, and that is our Hoops HD under the radar top 10 list. And we're going to go ahead and reveal them in order now. All four of us submitted lists.
Full disclosure, I forgot about Eastern Washington. So they're probably going to be ranked lower than they should be.
Full disclosure, there was about 30 different teams that got ranks from us, and there's only four of us. So this early in the season, it was real tough to do this. But the number one team ended up being the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. I don't know that they were number one on anybody's list, but they were in the top two among everybody. That kind of pushed them up there. Rocco, you think they are the best team or close to it?
Yeah, I've got them number four. So we're close.
All right. And then Sleeka, number two overall, was Middle Tennessee, a team that we spoke a lot about earlier today also.
Not so much for on-court stuff, but also a leap of faith at this point as far as the Blue Raiders go.
I don't know. Murray was pretty good. Yeah,
I agree with you, David. Gulf Coast coming in number three here, another team that's off to a good start and that really been impressing us. And David, at number four, was Vermont, despite the loss to Kentucky.
Yeah, I still like them more than that. I mean, they lost to Kentucky by – they fell behind at Rupp by double digits and fought back. And this is a Kentucky team that hung in with Kansas. So for them to do that on the road, I think they were swinging over their heads. And to lose by three, say that shot had gone in, then where do we rank them? I like Vermont a lot. I actually had them number one.
But a number five overall is College of Charleston, a team that was also spoken about a lot that, you know, they did get blessed by Wichita State, but it's a real good Wichita State team.
Yeah.
And number six is that Indiana State team coming off
the trees. All right.
They personally were not in my top 10. Rocco, do you think they belong in the top 10 with based on a win over Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, for given what we know right now, they deserve it. I mean, they went to a Big Ten school and won by 21 points, and they shot the lights out, and that's all we know about them. It's the only game they played.
I don't think they should be our first Missouri Valley Conference team on this list either. I don't think they're as good.
It really depends on how we're looking at this. If we're looking at it just the last week, then they deserve it. But for the full season prediction, probably a little aggressive.
Number seven is that Belmont team that we discussed coming in there. Number eight, Harvard, Salika, the Ivy League team, does make our top 10.
Yeah, you could probably accuse me of inflating the ranking a little bit because I think I actually had them third on my initial list here.
So that's how that happened. Number nine, Liberty. We didn't speak much about Liberty.
Yeah.
What about Liberty?
Oh, all right, man. That's a first.
Yeah, I had Liberty at six because, they actually went to Wake Forest and beat Wake Forest by 9 or 10 instead of Georgia Southern just squeaking out a 2-point win. And then they also, I'm giving them credit probably unnecessarily for blowing out VCU in the exhibition schedule. So from what we know about Liberty this far, they've got to be on the list somewhere.
All right. South Dakota, by the way, you're not going to see them on this list, but should they win this game tonight, they probably would have. And up there, probably near the top, they are down.
Yeah, real impressive showing. Every time it looks like TCU is going to blow it open, South Dakota comes back. Real good defense from South Dakota tonight. Anyway,
number 10, Georgia Southern, that Sun Belt team that, David, you're a huge fan of them, I know.
Oh, yeah.
let me go through. I actually put a few more honorable mentions on the list. There were so many teams that got votes. We end up with, I think I put eight different honorable mentions on here. These are teams that just missed the top 10. Monmouth, Bucknell, Jacksonville State, Northern Kentucky, Missouri State, who I believe should be much higher, UAB, Lamar out of the Southland Conference, and Old Dominion. David, your thoughts on the top 10 as a whole?
Out of that list, I mean, I know Bucknell's 0-3, but I think the longevity of it, they're going to be in the top 10 for most of the year. I like Northern Kentucky quite a bit. They were in my top 10. UAB is there, but it's we said a lot of good things about them, but a lot of teams would be undefeated against the schedule they've played.
I guess on that note, let me go ahead and pull this down here, and since we already discussed Cal Baptist, let me turn to each of you now for any other final thoughts you have on what we've seen so far and what's coming up. Salika, let me start with you.
Yeah, I was going to go back to Eastern Illinois for a moment because it seems like two of their most notable results actually came in their exhibition season. They get a win against Illinois at home as far as a charity exhibition goes, and then their following game, they actually lose to D2 power in Southern Indiana. What can we make of the Panthers for this year?
Well, they had a really close call against Tim Miles in Nebraska, who are on a Final Four pace right now. So, I mean, you got to give them quite a bit of credit for that. What's that for? When was the last time an undefeated power conference team did not make the Final
Four? Rocco, any other final thoughts?
I'm looking forward to the tournament starting. We get out here on the West Coast, wake up to basketball, so that's really exciting. I think we kick it off with Puerto Rico tournament and the Charleston tournament in the morning. And I think in the Puerto Rico tournament, Illinois State and Western Michigan are in the field. And if you look at that field, pretty much anybody can win it except for probably Appalachian State. And I hope they don't win it because they should probably be penalized for blowing out Toccoa Falls by 100. But anyway, Illinois State, Western Michigan, watch for them in the Puerto Rico. They might make some noise. And looking forward to a lot of basketball coming up.
Yeah, the other game, the 11:30 a.m. is Eastern tip time for Puerto in the well, not from Puerto Rico, but in the Puerto Rico tournament, at least. Right. Illinois State, South Carolina. The same time in the Charleston tournament is Auburn, Indiana State. So this may be Auburn shorthanded and struggling. Yeah. Indiana State, are they for real or not? This is going to be the chance for us to find out if there really are anything there, not only this game, but going forward in that event. But yeah. David, let me have you end it with any final thoughts.
Kind of the first week, it seems like by the time the tournaments are over, there's always four or five teams that emerge from under the radar as likely inside the teams that could land inside the bubble. It was kind of a disappointing start that two of the teams in particular that we were championing, Vermont and Bucknell, not getting it done. Bucknell not getting it done three times. So, but again, like, is these exempt tournaments are really a huge opportunity for teams like we saw from Monmouth 2 years ago that not even we're talking about a whole lot to make a huge impression, get some big wins, get the kind of wins that impress the selection committee, and kind of break out a little bit. I don't know who it's going to be, but hopefully someone does. Otherwise, we're just going to be on each week with nothing to talk about other than who's going to land on the 13 and 14 lines. Yeah. And my last thought is I'd like to one more time share with you the team of the people. There they are, right there. Your Lancers,
up
live
by,
on the air, live
by 12
on the show.
Now over, is that Colorado Christian they're playing?
Colorado
tonight?
Christian, yes. Big game, nationally ranked, the team of the people, for the first time ever, the team of the people, live on our show.
Yes, and if we are violating any rules here, David did it. Please go ahead and come after him for that.
Okay, let's get them off.
But by that note, I do want to first plead the Fifth Amendment on behalf of myself and the rest here at Hoops HD, and anything showing on David Griggs' screen is not reflective of the opinions of those of the Hoops HD panelists. On behalf of Rocco Miller, John Sleeka, and maybe David over there, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Under the Radar.